If you have your Bibles today, can you join me tonight? We're going to be in Hebrew chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Again, Hebrew chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Hey, Nate. Hebrew chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to the love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. Again, not neglecting to meet together. Well, I'm tired today. I'm not going to go to church. Not neglecting to meet together. I'm going to sit at home and watch TV today. I'm going to watch Joe Austin. I'm going to watch TV and watch TBN, whatever the case may be. Not neglecting to meet together. Again, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some. But encourage one another. How can you encourage one another? You at home. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Amen. Let me pray for us today. Ask the Lord to help us with this. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless us at this time, Lord, and help us, Lord, as we study your word tonight. Help us, Lord, in the sense of, Lord, helping us understand church membership. What does it mean to be a church? And what does it mean to be a part of a church and be members of a church? Lord, help us with these things, Lord. These things are new to a lot of us here, new to myself. Help us, Lord, learn, Lord, what does it mean to be a member of a church? Bless us and keep us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today I'm going to be actually, as I walk through this text tonight, I'm going to be actually using a couple resources that I'm going to be quoting from. The first resource here is What is a Healthy Church Member? By Thabiti Anabewe. I might have messed his name up, Thabiti. I'm going to be pushing a lot from this book here. And another book I'm going to be using tonight is also The Church, Why Bother? By Jeffrey Johnson. He's our pastor out in Conway. Another church right here is a church by another book by Thabiti. Reviving the Black Church, A Call to Reclaim a Sacred Institution. I'm going to be quoting from these books tonight. If you have any questions and everything, these are some really good resources to read through and think through. But I'm going to be reading a lot through these books, and that's going to help us get us through this tonight. So let me start out with a quote from Charles Spurgeon. I know there are some who say, well, I've given myself to the Lord. I say, now why not? And they answer, because I can be just as good as Christian without it. I say, are you quite clear about that? You can be as good a Christian by disobedience to the Lord commands as by being obedient. I don't believe that you are answering the purpose for which Christ saved you. You're living contrary to the life which Christ would have you live, and you are much to blame for the injury you do. And he's referring to church membership. Let me start off with the first question here. How do many see church membership today? Let me open up the floor. When I say church membership, what do you think about?
Being part of a local body.
Being a part of a local body. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Somebody just going to say their members.
Going to say their members. Anybody else? How do many people see church membership today? Anything. How do you see? When you say membership, what do you think about?
Family
together. Okay.
Just a fellowship with one another and like if somebody needs help or something like that, we're going to pray for them more.
How do people, for example, they want to find a church today? They want to go look for a church. What do people think about when they look for a church?
First of all, they want nobody to be judgmental towards them.
They want judgmental, okay. Preach the word. I wish everybody would.
You can walk through the door and people don't be looking at their clothes.
Exactly.
What about that? Okay.
Exactly.
Well, Jeffrey Johnson here says, the young and restless are looking for a church that is on traditional worship. Parents are looking for a church for a nursery. The youth are looking for a cool church for cool activities. Basketball, football. Singles. People are single looking for a church to find somebody they can love. Viewing the church through the lens of self, what do you want out of a church, right, leads people to judge a church based on how well the church meets their personal expectation. You get that? If you're looking for a church, I'm single. I want to find a lot of love. I'm going to find a church with a lot of attractive people. If I'm a teenager, I'm in high school, I want to find a church that's real fun. With basketball and football and traveling, I want to find something a lot of fun. What that being said is that when a person looks for a church that's identified with self, they're making themselves the one that made that final decision. They're putting themselves and actually in the place of God. Many people are content to church hop their whole life or simply stay at home. Option B is to go to the woods to worship God in their way, or attend a church but never join it. Now, some people go to church and they never join the church. Church membership is in chaos this day, right? Even when people do join a church, remaining committed and faithful is not to be expected. Now, people can join a church and not be truly committed or faithful to the church. They can pop into a church 3 times a year and still be a member. You hear that? Some people might go to church 3 times a year. I'm a member of such and such church. You heard that before? Mm-hmm. I even hear people that die. They die and the pastors say they are members and they ain't been there for 20 years. Since they joined the church. These are the different ways people see membership now. Some people say they are going to stay at home and watch or listen to Christian media. It's equal to going to church on Sunday. I know a couple right now that say they love Jesus, but haven't been to church in years. But they watch, hear sermons on TV and listen to sermons, but they actually seeing that the church is not important. I don't have to go to church. This is what Christian membership has come to now in our day. Anybody agree? A lot of us sound familiar. So that's the first question that this is how people see membership today. A lot of people see membership this way. So that brings us to our second question here. But before we get that, on number one, write down a couple of things what I just mentioned there. How do people see membership? How do you see membership today? Just write down whatever you want to write down. How do you ever see membership today? On number one. And the next question here, you're going to number two there on your sheet. How did we get so far off with church membership? For somebody to say, hey, I'm a member and I haven't been there 20 years. Or for somebody to say, I'm just sit at home, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, I'm not going to go to church. How did we get here? How did we ever get here in our day? I mean, looking back at our grandparents, they stayed in the church. They loved the church. But now it's so different in our day and age. So how do we get so far off with church membership? Well, and I say this right here. When we started to make Christianity or the church about ourselves, we started to make the church comfortable and not biblical. We chose our fleshly desires over following God's word. We did not think sola scriptura was important. We started to limit membership as church growth schemes. We allow anyone to sign a card and be a member without biblical evaluation. People have forgotten the joy of the union we have in Christ and what we have with each other. We have forgotten that we are unified in Christ. We have forgotten that God has called us to be separate from this world. He has united us in Ephesians 2 to be reconciled to God and reconciled to each other. We have gotten it wrong about church membership because we have gotten God wrong. Until we can better understand God, we will not understand biblical membership. A lot of people say they're part of membership in churches and part of churches and a part of these churches and not having a right understanding of biblical membership. They don't really know biblically what God is requiring of them. Question number 3 here. What does the scripture say about membership then? What does the scripture actually say about membership? Scripture teaches that when believers are united to Christ by the new birth, they are also mutually united together into one body. Again, number 3 on your sheet. Scripture teaches that when believers are united to Christ by the new birth, they are also mutually united together into one body. We have not cherished our union with Christ. Christians are drawn together by internal force. They love one another. They are assembled together. In the past, persecution, distress, and various threats could not deter Christians from regular meeting. These people right here, it don't matter if they try to kill you. Even in China right now. Even in early Christianity, them people were killed for the faith. But one thing you couldn't stop them doing? From meeting together and assembling together. Do not forsake the gathering assembly. They would do anything to be there because they got it right. They understood what church membership is. These people, they was going to be put to death. Not just saying, hey, I got a headache today. My big toe hurt today. What, I had a long night the other day. If God is so special, He has united us together, how dare we belittle Him and say the church is not important? These people were beheaded and they were killed to be able to meet together in one body. Christians of old often met in forests and fields and dark dens and caves. They did not mind traveling many miles in difficult conditions. All they knew was that they loved the Lord and the desire to meet with the brethren, to worship the living God collectively and enjoy the fellowship of the saints. Where did the Christian get this knowledge of the union from? They got it from the Old Testament and New Testament scriptures. Why they was united together? Because they knew that all they had was each other in Christ. We got each other. The world hates us. The world wants to devour us and hurt us. That's why we need each other. Church is not a casual thing. We are actually so united together and so close together that nobody can separate this union together in the body of Christ. Jeff Johnson said this, God calls His people to be active and faithful members of a local church. Going to church is not to be squeezed into Christian weekly schedule. Oh, I got to go to church on Sunday. Oh, I got to go to church. I'm going to squeeze it in my schedule. Let me get all my other stuff done. Then I'm going to get my church stuff done. Going to church is not to be squeezed into the Christian weekly schedule, but rather, it is to be the principal activity, the focal point of the Christian life. The middle of your life should be the church. Everything else works around the church. The church is the center point. So you tell a job, I'm in an interview. My meeting together and seeing my brothers in Christ, nothing can compare to this. If I can't get my first shift, I can't get a shift that's for my family or a shift that I'm off on Sundays, I might need to be looking somewhere else. Because this is so much special because I need my family. I need my Christian family because the world hates me. The world want to devour me. I need to be reminded of Christ daily. I need to be in the church. Entertainment, hobbies, NFL, right? We love Super Bowl. We love Sunday football. Work, sometimes even family are secondary to worship of God and the assemblies of the saints. In other words, listen to this. Christians are to rotate their schedules around the life of the church. Why is that? This is heaven on earth. This is a taste of heaven on earth. Not your sisters, not your brothers, not your cousins. For those who are in the body of Christ, this is tasting heaven. Because we're living for Christ forevermore. And by being unified in Christ, as we love one another, like a married union, my wife and I, been married now for 7 years. And as we get to know each other, she know where I hurt, I know where she's hurt at times. Why is that? Over time, it tastes what? Over time, we get to know each other better, and we become more and more as one person. When she hurt, I hurt. I know what upsets her at times. She know what upsets me at times. How do we get to this point? Because we spend time with each other. We live life with each other. In the same way in the church, we can't get there if we don't spend time with each other. We are like a what? Like a bride. We are the bride of Christ. We spend so much time together. We know when each other hurt. We know when each other cry. We know how to build one another up. We can't do that. We can't spend enough time with each other. So God has given us something that the whole world don't have. The whole world, they are jealous of what we have, and we don't even appreciate the church. We don't even appreciate the church. The whole world is in chaos. But God has given us each other, and we don't appreciate each other. How can we appreciate each other? We got to understand that the church is in the center of our lives, because the church is where God dwells with his people. In the assemblies of the body of the church. So where did the membership come from? Did it just come in the Old Testament? Did it just come in the New Testament? I would say membership started in the Old Testament. Question number 4. Membership in the Old Testament. God's intent throughout the Old Testament was that Israel should be a visible, distinct, holy community which he lived with his people. They were to be treasured by God, because he loved them, chose them, and taught them his statutes. There was to be clear demonstration between being in covenant with God and being outside the covenant of God's people. Israel was to be unlike any other nation on earth. And Israelites' entire identity and sense of purpose depended upon their membership in the community. Membership in the community. To be cut off was the worst possible fate. To be included was for the Israelites to be established in praise and fame and honor high above all nations God has made. And that's Deuteronomy 26:19. Israel. Once Israel was a part of that community with God and membership with God, could anybody touch Israel? If anybody did anything to Israel, Israel obeyed God. If any nation came against Israel, what would God have done to that nation? He would have wiped them out. He would have wiped them all out. As long as they were trusting God and obeying God, nobody can touch Israel. But when they got off track, when Solomon got multiple wives and his sons, Rehoboam, they got into all these things, that's when you start seeing the decline of the kingdom. But once they are part of membership and serving God, nothing can come against them, right? So this membership idea actually starts in the Old Testament, how Israel was set apart for God. The Old Testament Israel. So what about the New Testament membership? Most people would admit that God's covenant with Israel created a distinct religious and even ethnic community with clearly marked membership. But many people fail to recognize the same pattern in the New Testament. They rightly understand that the coming of Jesus Christ opened the way of a new covenant, not just with Israel, but with all the nations of the earth. But some mistakenly think this broadening of God's redemptive purposes erases the broader of membership. On the contrary, the New Testament takes the foundation laid with Israel in the Old Testament and extends it to all those brought into the New Covenant relationship with God through the faith in Jesus Christ. So this New Testament, this concept of membership, it's not just in the Old Testament. It actually starts in the Old Testament. So number 5 there on your sheet. New Testament membership relies upon a distinctly Christology idea. Christological ideal. Our union with Christ through faith. The word member or part comes from the unique body of Christ metaphor used to describe the Christian church. For example, Paul writes, "You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part or member of it." 1 Corinthians 12:27. A part or member of it. Again, the New Testament view of the church membership include a very clear in and out, but that in and out depend upon the neither on a sociology or no ethnicity. Membership is not a matter of joining a club or being born into a correct ethnic group. New Testament church membership relies upon a distinctly Christological ideal, our union with Christ through faith. We are part of the membership through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what makes biblical membership. We are part of it because of what Christ has done for us. So the word member or part comes from the unique word, the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ.
Body of Christ or members. Part or member.
Part or member. Is in there.
A member, not membership.
Part or member. Yeah. So this New Testament idea, being part of the body of Christ, it brings about this idea of being a part of a membership of Christ. So we go to the next question here. So why does church membership matter then? Why does it matter? A healthy practice of church membership yields at least four benefits. Number one, membership helps clarify the gospel. Membership helps clarify the gospel. When God's people assemble into distinctive communities and live in accord with the grace that is in Christ Jesus, the unbelieving world gets to see the gospel in action. Recall the distinction God made between Israel and Egypt in Exodus. God delivered Israel in the Exodus so that Egypt would know that I, the Lord, am in this land. In the same way, likewise, in the New Testament, God called the church to live in a loving community so that all men would know you are my disciples, and to live sanctified by the word and oneness so that the world may believe that the Father has sent Jesus. Such a community is formed by the gospel. For the world to see our love and heed our message, it needs to see an identifiable church membership obeying Jesus. How we live in membership, it's a witness to the world of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it just said how Israel and Egypt, when actual Moses asked Pharaoh, what did Moses ask Pharaoh? Let my people go. And Pharaoh over and over would not let the people go. But God in his glory, he showed his power by using the different plagues and all these things to show the glory of God. If Israel submitted to God and listened to Moses, God was going to show his name. And for those in Egypt, they was able to witness who God is by Israel being a unique body in the Old Testament. And even for us today, we are to clarify the gospel on how we live life with each other. How we die to self and live with each other. You know, we live in life. We're not worried about who don't have this, who don't have that. We live in life. We bear one another's burdens. Some of us going over beyond to help others out here. We got to let the world see how the gospel lives out. Well, Christ lived the gospel out. We show that expression on how we live it out. Number two here. Membership strengthens the church reputation. Membership strengthens the church reputation. Last time. Membership strengthens the church reputation. None of you got one? If the church becomes indistinct from the world by being in and of it, the church loses its saltiness and its light. is these are no longer visible and no longer bring praise to God, the Father in heaven. When we fail to practice church membership effectively, we are like hundreds of individuals lost in a vast dark wilderness with small flashlights. From the dim torches we see here and there in faint glow. But when we assemble the hundreds of Christians together, all with their flashlights beaming, we magnify the light in that vast darkness. Clarifying church membership concentrates and magnifies the witness of light of Jesus Christ in the local church and strengthen the church reputation. As we live Christ with us, we switch into the world of what does it mean to be unified in Christ as part of a membership. Number 3, membership promotes the spiritual and practical transformation Jesus brings to the world. Again, number 3, membership promotes the spiritual and practical transformation Jesus brings to the world. Churches are made up of a renewed and a rehabilitated sinners. This means local churches should be filled with transformation stories. The church become a commercial for the radical new life. Churches should be communities of people who all testify that we are sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, prostitutes, homosexual, thieves, greedy, drunkards, slanderers, and swindlers. But we have been washed. We have been sanctified, we have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We are a community where the old things have passed away and all things have become new. That transformation gives power, hope to those in need of the newness of life. Clarify the membership of the church. Help people, those looking for hope, know how powerful God is in the life of the repentant and trusting people. Membership promotes the spiritual and practical transformation that Jesus brings to the world. And so for us people, listen to here in this room, how we all were dead in our sin. Many of us struggle with, with lying and stealing, pornography, homosexuality, all the things that probably people struggle with. But now we've been justified by Christ. We get to let the world see that. Hey, but listen to this. If you're still living like that, how can the world see the gospel in your life? How can the world see the gospel in your life and you're sitting in this room right now and you know you're not living for Christ? True membership is a witness that we are a part of the body of Christ and people can see that. I remember what Rail used to do. I remember what he used to do. But look at him now. His whole life is changed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't say that if we're still living contrary to the gospel. So our witness and membership is a witness to the world where we've been saved from. We've been saved from ourselves. Number 4, last one. Membership creates an alternative community and a culture to the world. Membership creates an alternative community and culture to the world. The world longs for joy, peace, love, and hope. Yet the world does not and cannot find what Dr. King called the beloved community. As long as it continues under the rule of darkness, lawlessness increases and love grows cold. The world watches in horror as evil people and imposters go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Only one group in the whole world, only one group promised an alternative culture built on love. No Islam, no Jehovah's Witnesses, no Mormons, no Buddhism. None of these groups can actually bring and be a light of the joy besides the Christian community. Only one group promised an alternative culture built on love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. The local church. But if its members are dispersed among or unrecognized from the world, then the all alluring hope of an alternative community evaporates. We can't be a light to the world. We're living in like a mess. We live like the world. The church should be a light to the world. I know so many churches now, they look worse than the world. It's just a mess. Pastors doing what they want to do. Deacons doing what they do. The members doing what they want to do. No submission to God. Are they a light to the world? Are they a salt to the world? They're not a salt to the world. And by not being a salt to the world, they have lost their voice. They have lost their voice. But for us to be a body, we got to show the world what does it mean that these people are living for Jesus. They're living for Jesus and they're for real about Jesus. And I tell you this, in this room, and I love y'all to death in here, but if somebody is not ready to live for Jesus, just say you're not a believer right now. And just say, hey, I want to know Christ. And I understand we all mess up, and we all slip up and here and there, but it's a different from living a habitual lifestyle when you was 15 years old, and now you're 45 years old, and you're still living the same way. Let's just say you haven't submitted your life to Christ yet. But for those who are living in Christ, we are a testimony to the world and showing what God has done for us and has saved us from. Brings us to the next point here. Biblical commands that cannot be obeyed. Biblical commands that cannot be obeyed outside of the membership of the local church. Number one. There's no way to say, this is another support. There's no way membership can happen if you don't have these things. That's how we know membership exists, because of these five things here. Church leadership. Two classic passages of scripture outline for the church for the qualification the leaders must have. In addition to the qualification, there are explicit commands for the leaders to shepherd the flock and for Christians to submit to their leaders. Yet if there is no identifiable membership, there is no one to lead, no one for the leaders to lead. So number one, church leadership. Church leadership is their number one. Submission to their authority, as in Hebrews 13:7 required, becomes nonsense if the leaders are not responsible for a group. If the pastor is not able to shepherd a group of people, how can it be members? You got members because you have pastors, right? That's why you have pastors, because it is the sustenance of membership. Number two, it talks about in scriptures. Number two here, church discipline. Church discipline. In 1 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul instructs the believers in Corinth to put out their fellowship of men involved in sexual immorality. Listen to this. He said, put them out of the church. Well, Creston doesn't mean. That's not mean, Creston. You don't need to cut people out of church. Let them come. Okay? It's not Creston Church. It's Christ Church. 1 Corinthians said, put them out of the fellowship. Why can we put them out? He said, the Lord Jesus Christ commanded a similar action in Matthew 18:15-17. Part of the reason the Bible commands the practice of church discipline is so far that clear distinctions can be maintained between God's people, the church, and the surrounding world. If there is no practical, visible way of determining who belongs to the church or who belongs to the world, the distinction is lost, and putting out of the fellowship is an impossible feat, since there is no real way of being the fellowship. Church discipline is another picture of a membership in the church. If you don't have membership, how can you discipline the people and kick people out of the church? They are part of the church. That's why you kick them out of the church. Because what? They were living in a sense of sexual immorality. They're living in that. They know they're not married. And they're still doing things they shouldn't be doing. Paul is saying remove them from the church. And what that means, though, is they remove from the church is that they can still come, but they can't take communion. They shouldn't give offering. Their money, they don't have to give offering. They don't have to give anything. They don't take communion. They are there to witness us. And the believer that our believers witness in what does it mean to be in Christ. And for that to be a testimony for them to want to join the church one day and be a part of who Christ is one day. So church discipline is a picture of this. Number three. Keeping a list and voting. Number three. Keeping a list and voting. There is a slight evidence that the early church kept some lists associated with its membership. For example, the list of widows were kept in 1 Timothy 5:9. Also, Christians in the local church voted for some action. It was the majority who voted to remove the man from membership in the church in 2 Corinthians 2:6. Elect an elder submitting to them, regulating membership, keeping lists, and voting only makes sense if a known, identifiable, and distinct body is recognized. So while the Bible doesn't provide us with a biblical treatise on membership per se, there's enough evidence in an inspired record to suggest that some form of membership was practiced and was necessary to the church operation. Church membership is no less important in our day. Church membership is very important. Okay, number 4. The Lord's Supper. Another picture of membership is that it's a picture of the Lord's Supper. How are you going to do a Lord's Supper in a sense of a people that know if you're a believer? Are you a part of the body of Christ? In a sense of evaluation. So number 4 is Lord's Supper. Number 5, corporate worship. Colossians 3:16. In corporate worship. Number 5 is corporate worship. And so by saying corporate worship is this, is that how we worship together as a body. And as we worship together as a community in 3:16, singing psalms and hymns together. How can we do those things together? We're not part of a body of Christ and a membership together. We can't, you can't sing. It says do it in the sense of assembly. Use the word ecclesia. We call it called out of here. The church is asked to involve the membership as we meet together, as we sing in the sense of corporate worship. Okay, we're almost finished here. We go to the next question here. What does a committed church member look like then? What does a real member look like? What does a real church member look like? Number 1. What does a healthy church member look like? Number 1. This is a faithful member. A faithful member here. This is going to answer number 1. Attends regularly. Attends regularly. This is the first and the most important ministry of every Christian in the local church. Being present, being known, and being active are the only ways to make Christian love possible. How can you love somebody and you're not attending church regularly? Number 2, seek peace. Seek peace. Peace. A committed church member is committed to the maintenance of peace in the congregation. Let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Are you a peacemaker in the church? A faithful member right here. What does a faithful member look like? They make peace in the church. Are you dividing the church? Are you being messy in the church? You're not a good faithful member. A good faithful member brings peace because they're serving the God of peace. They attend regularly. They seek peace. Number 3, edifies others. Edifies others. E-D-I-F-I-E-S. E-D-I-F-I-E-S. Others. The one consistent purpose or goal of the public meeting of the church is mutual edification, building each other up in the faith. A healthy and committed member comes to serve, not to be served. Did y'all hear that? They come to serve, not to be served. Like Jesus in Mark 10:45, to provide, not to be a consumer only. You're there to serve one another. How can you serve one another if you're at home? How can you serve one another when you're not there when a sister or brother needs you? When you miss church, it has a lot more implication than that you're just not being there. That person that beside you that might need you is very important. The next one here, number four. What does a committed church member look like? Number four. Warns and admonishes others. This is this right here. A committed member is committed to speaking the truth in love to his brothers and sisters, to helping them avoid pitfalls, and to encouraging them in holiness and Christian joy. A committed member would not be wrongly intrusive in the lives of others, a busybody, but he also will not be hands off when it comes to caring for and counseling others. A true member monitors one another, care for one another.
Are you saying admonish?
Admonish.
Okay.
They admonish one another. A D M O N I S H E S. Admonish is one another. They're not just busy. They're not trying to tell people down. They're there right there. Not trying to just be messy and be nosy. They're there to build you up. You want to be able to build that person up. You're thinking highly of that person in the sense of is that you're not trying to think negative, trying to see how can you say something bad about a person. You want to talk highly of that person. And that's when it's called pursues reconciliation. Pursues reconciliation. Christians are people who are reconciled to God through Christ. As a consequence, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, 18-21. So, a committed member strives to repair breaches as quickly as possible, even before continuing in public worship. If you got a fence against somebody, you are quickly to pursue reconciliation. You're not so waiting in sense of worship, let me wait till Sunday. You pursue how to work these things out with one another. Pursue reconciliation. And by pursuing that, you understand with Christ, we have been reconciled to Christ. There's nothing that Jerry has done to Donovan that can compare to what we have done to Jesus. Let me say that again. Y'all need to hear this. It's nothing that Rail has done to Donovan that we have done to Jesus. What we have done to Jesus way more in a sense of weighty compared to what Donovan has done to Ms. Dockett. So for us as the body of Christ, if we can't be reconciled with one another, how can we call the world to be reconciled to Jesus? How can we tell a prostitute to repent and you're not willing to repent to your sister across the street from you, across the seat from you, that's sitting beside you, or somebody that's sitting across from you? People, if we can't pursue reconciliation in here, how can we ask these things in the world? Let's stop being hypocrites and let's live for Jesus. Okay? Let's live for Christ. Next one. Bear with others. Bear with others. It says it right here. All these verses right here about one another. Bear one another. Okay, listen to this. Active in loving one another. Look around. Do you love one another? Active in accountability. Submitting to one another. Everybody want to rule over everybody. Are you quick to submit to one another? Edifying one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, also Ephesians 5:21. With submitting one another. Exhorting one another. Hebrews 3:13 and Hebrews 10:25. Admonishing one another. Romans 15:4. If necessarily, follow through with church discipline. Active in fellowshipping with one another. 1 John 1:7. Active in caring for one another. You guys see all these one another's? How are we doing with all these one another's? Caring and loving for one another. Active in attendance. Active in supporting the work of the ministry. Active in prayer. By doing these things, there's a picture of us bear one another's burdens. That's true membership. That's biblical membership. Anybody can sign a roll. You can sign it. But biblical membership is covenant. When you sign the covenant in the constitution of this church plant, we want to say we are in for this for the long haul. We are there for one another and we love one another. We got to be for real, people. We got to be for real. Look on your sheet now. Number 7. Prepare for the ordinances. Prepare for the ordinances. One privilege of the church membership is participating in Christ's ordinances, baptism and communion. Moreover, these privileges give us visible proclamation of the good news that Christ died for sinners and rose again to eternal life. So it's a great tragedy that many Christians neglect the ordinances that Jesus himself established 2,000 years ago. A committed member rejoices at the baptism of new believers, and he examines his heart in preparation for joining the family of God at the Lord's table. He received these spiritual exercises as means of grace, means that give visible testimony to the effect of the gospel in his life and the life of gathered church. Number eight right here. A committed member. Are you a committed member? Are we committed members? Support the work of the ministry. A committed member give resources, time, and talent to the furtherance of the gospel in the local church. Again, listen to that. A committed member give resources and time when it's convenient for them. Did it say that? Did it say they give time and money and resources when it's convenient for them? No, he didn't say that. He said a committed member give resources and time and talent to the furtherance of the gospel in the local church. He lives at the Bible calls to the body of Christ. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesied, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing, contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him be cheerfully. A healthy church member, a committed church member, receives and applies the grace of God by working to support the ministry of the local church and excels in giving what he has already received from God to the gospel work. He should follow the example of the Macedonians, who committed to financial giving strategy that was sacrificial, generous, increasing over time, and fueled by the faith in God despite present circumstances. Are you committed to give to the church? Your time, your effort, and all that you have for the building up of the church. Are you willing to give those things to the church? That's membership. That's church membership. If you're not ready for that, don't sign the membership. If you're not ready to give your effort and give these things, there's plenty of churches in our city. Amazing churches in the city. But for us, we want to be genuine. Support the work of the ministry. Number 9 the last one?
Yep, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Number 9 the last one. We're finishing up. Responsibility towards unbelievers or those outside the church. Responsibility towards unbelievers or those outside the church. This is a committed member right here. This is what they do. Our responsibility for those unbelievers and those outside the church. We pray for them. We pray for these unbelievers, our enemies. We pray for them. We do good to them. Pray for them is 1 Timothy 2:1. Do good to them, Galatians 6:10. Evangelize to them, 1 Corinthians 9:22. We love them, Romans 13:8. Do not be unequally yoked to them. We don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. If we are so comfortable and so happy to be around unbelievers, more to be around believers, we don't understand what Christ has done for us. We're so happy to get around folks and sense of that are not living for Christ and not going to be around the body of Christ, we don't understand the beautiful picture of the body of Christ. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be around, but yes, we want to witness unbelievers. But when we get around each other, now we can rest. This is heaven on earth. When we get around each other, we can rest. We don't have to worry about gossip. We don't have to worry about tearing each other down. We are at home and we can rest. That's how church is. We're not tearing one another down. But the world is doing that. We fight tooth and nail with the world and sharing the gospel with them. But we got to allow this church to be a place where God dwells. That we're building one another up. We're not complaining about one another. We're so quick to help out. We're not waiting to see what everybody else on here having handouts. We're going to wait to see what they're going to do. We're going to let them do all the work. Then we're going to come and do. We'll do what we need to do after that. That's selfish. That's selfish. For us, we give our all to each other. We give our all to each other. Not Crescent is giving it to Jerry. Not Jerry is giving it to Donovan on the docket. Not Kales is giving it to Rail. For all of us, we need to give our life to each other. And love one another and bear one another's burdens. And the last one he said in verse number six, last one he said right here, responsibility toward unbelievers. Be honest with them. We are honest with those unbelievers. We're honest with them. 1 Peter 2:12. And the last thing here, what is needed to join the local church? What is needed to join the local church? Although faith is only requirement to join the universal body of Christ, something more is needed to join a local church, visible holiness. Faith must be tangibly demonstrated to join a church. Because a local church cannot see the heart, it must be judged. It must judge one profession by their works of faith. In other words, not only does a person need a profession of faith, he or she needs a life that is in agreement with that profession. In other words, once the invisible church, when I say visible, invisible church, is that this is a church all over the world is the invisible church. The visible church is the local body. The visible church is the local body. If the local body is the visible church, the invisible church is the church that's all around the world. The Christians, we all are one church all around the world, those are the true believers. Right, the church in China and the church in and Belgium, all these churches around the world that are preaching Jesus, that's preaching Christ and Christ crucified. We are one church, universal church, right around the world, invisible church. But we also have a visible church, is the local church. And that's what he said. What's the difference? So it goes again. In other words, not only does a person need a profession of faith, he or she needs a life that is in agreement with that profession. In other words, once the invisible church becomes manifest in the local invisible society, then some outward form of affirmation is needed to recognize who belongs to this fellowship. It follows that church membership is exclusively for believers. Is church membership for unbelievers? I hear some people sometimes say, let the people sing in the choir and everything, let them feel welcome. That's not, where is that at biblically? Where is that in the Bible? No. They're to be set apart. They're to be there and see how we love each other. And for them to witness that one day they can sing with us in the congregation or whatever the case may be because they see the love that we have and they see what Christ has done for us. We are to witness to them instead of allowing them to come over and say, well, let's just make them feel comfortable. No, we preach the gospel. That's what we do. As the book of James says plainly, teaches, the only way for a church to see this inward faith is by observing a change of life. Anybody can say they're a believer. But how do you know they're a believer? Their life changed. If your life haven't changed, you're still living your old ways. You're still living your old ways. A life that is characterized by obedience to God and love for the brethren. This is one reason why believers should be baptized, because it demonstrates the church body a willingness to be submissive to God. The scriptures also teach that the church is required to carry out church discipline for all members who fall into habitual sin. Only those who join a local church benefit from the accountability of the church discipline and restoration. With this in mind, professors of Christ who have not demonstrated a desire to follow the Lord in baptism and a willingness spirit to be in subjection to the Lord and local church should not be considered as visible candidates for church membership. They shouldn't be members. So if somebody saying they love Jesus, and they don't want to follow his command by saying be baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, but what baptism is, it's what God told us to do. It's required of us in a sense to be obedient to Jesus, but Jesus saves us, but baptism is an outward expression of our faith. So baptism, the picture right here is that if you don't want to obey Christ in the baptism, why do we think you want to obey Christ in other areas? So we got to ask ourselves, do we truly obey Christ? Another thing too, are we still living in sin? Are we still living in a way, a contrary, living a two-life, double lives? If so, that person cannot be a member, shouldn't be a candidate of a member of this congregation. Moreover, if a church member is living habitual, I said the part right, okay? It goes on to say the church is required by the authority invested into her by Christ and his word to discipline the unrepentant member who hopes of restoration. Thus, it goes without saying that the church membership should be taken seriously. Agreement. The last one is agreement. That's church membership for us. That is church membership. That doesn't mean to be a body of Christ.